Welcome to the Solid Signal podcast for the week of January 1st, 2024. That's right, I'm actually recording this in late December because I am not working on January 1st, and maybe you are not either. So, for me, it's still December, but for you, it's January. So, happy New Year to you, and I hope that it's going to be a great one for everyone, that everyone gets everything that they want from life, and that it ends up being good for us all. 1994, not 2024, but 1994 was the year that DirecTV launched. And so 2024 represents the 30th anniversary of the service. First of all, that's amazing. A lot of companies never make it to 30, and DirecTV has certainly had a lot of changes along the way. Going from relatively privately owned to publicly owned, back to privately owned, now being spun off again. And so I thought I would take a few minutes and just kind of fill in some of the color commentary that I remember from the very early DirecTV days. You can read about DirecTV's early history on a number of pages, including Wikipedia. While Wikipedia isn't always accurate on everything, their page on DirecTV is pretty darn good. In order to understand how revolutionary DirecTV was, you know, you have to kind of think back even another 10 years before that. Back in the mid-1980s, when I was involved in cable television, a lot of us were talking about the idea of direct broadcast satellite, or we used to call it the set-top dish. Remember, TVs in those days were big enough that you could put something on the top of them, and the idea would be that you'd put a satellite dish on top of them instead of rabbit ears. That never really came to pass because the signals coming from the satellites are just too weak to pass through a wall. But still, the idea was a good one. And it took several years for all of the laws to get passed to allow it. The early 1990s was a time when there was a real push toward technical innovation. It was the time that the laws that allowed for World Wide Web access were created. It was a time that the World Wide Web itself was created. And it was also the time that the U.S. government was interested in creating an entire broadcast satellite industry, which previous to this never existed. Yes, there were satellite dishes. Going back, you know, into the early 1980s, there were satellite dishes. And possibly before that, residential satellite dishes, the first one that I saw was in the 1980s anyway. But in order to use a residential satellite dish, you had to know where all of the channels were. This usually meant a book similar to the Yellow Pages, where then you would dial in a series of settings and the dish would take its good old sweet time going from place to place and finding the channel that you were looking for. It was hardly ideal. And the thought with direct broadcast satellite would be to create something that was similar to a cable TV experience, just with satellite. That's exactly what they did. DirecTV itself was born from GM's Hughes division, which traces itself all the way back to that famed aviator Howard Hughes. If you want to learn more about him, there's a number of great places. Watch the movie The Aviator, and it's largely accurate. At least it gives you a kind of a real feeling about who Howard Hughes was. But leveraging its understanding and experience in the satellite industry, let Hughes launch the satellite, though it was really just one at first, that allowed them to offer DirecTV service. In those early days, you actually had two services. You didn't have to subscribe to both of them, but most people did. One was called DirecTV and one was called USSB. And if you wanted all of the channels, you pretty much had to go through both. It really wasn't a huge problem because you tuned to both of them through the same box, but you often got two separate bills. In the days before being able to pay your bills online, you know, this meant, you know, writing two checks and balancing your checkbook more and all of that stuff. Nobody really liked that. My first experience with DirecTV goes all the way back to those very early days. I had a friend I still have, as a matter of fact, who was a very early adopter of DirecTV. He lived in an area that was not really served by broadcast television. There are areas like that where you just can't get television signals at all. And so if you want to do something, you got to do something. There was no internet at this time. There was no streaming. If you wanted TV, you know, you could, and you were in one of those areas, you could put an antenna up on a very large tower and hope, or you could just, you know, not watch TV and just listen to the radio instead. DirecTV changed all that. My friend put up the dish himself because, remember, there was no installation at that time. It was designed to be something you put together yourself. Matter of fact, you went to the store, you bought all the pieces individually, and then you just kind of put them together yourself. And you know, there were no YouTube videos back then. You just read the book that came with it on how to do it, and you did it. And he did it. He got up on the roof and he aimed it himself, and it worked pretty darn well. It was a single room of DirecTV. It really didn't, you know, it wasn't available in any other room. That was the only place that television could be watched. And it was, of course, it was all standard definition. He had no premium channels. It was all basic. But all of a sudden, he was getting network television programming, stuff that I wasn't even getting. And I was immediately impressed. I saw that there was a real possibility for this to kind of take over, to move beyond the idea of just serving these, you know, relatively remote customers, rural customers, folks who can do it all themselves. And I had this idea in my mind that it could become a legitimate competitor to the cable companies of the day. Now, I'm not going to say that I was some sort of wizard. I think a lot of people had those ideas. And certainly by the time I was having them, a company like DirecTV was well on their way to trying to make it happen. It wasn't, however, until about 6-7 years later, when DirecTV was actually not only able by law to offer local channels in most markets, but had enough satellite capacity to do that, that they really started to take off. Yes, in those days, you still went to a place like Circuit City and bought the stuff that you needed and contracted with them or with somebody else for installation, but at least it was a little bit more streamlined. You paid one bill for everything, and surprisingly, it was not that expensive. If I remember correctly, and you got to understand, this was in, you know, early 2000s dollars, and I had the base package. I didn't have any premiums or anything like that. I was paying about $65 a month for cable, and my DirecTV bill was maybe about $30 a month. No, that's actually not that bad. And if you think about comparing apples to apples here in 2024, prices haven't gone up that much, and you're actually getting a whole lot more now with, you know, on demand and high definition and 4K and all that stuff, and of course DVR service. There was no DVR service in those days, and if you were there, you might remember that there was a pass-through that your satellite box could pass through to a VCR, and then you'd set a timer on the VCR to turn on at a particular time. You'd set a timer on the satellite box to change to a channel at a particular time, and you hoped it all worked. And that was pretty much what you did. There was a lot of finger-crossing in those days. It was really neat to say that it was available, but at the same time, it was still pretty primitive. It was around the same time that I had first gotten DirecTV that I also saw my first DVR. I didn't actually get a DVR for the first year or two that I had DirecTV, but I was aware of them. I'd seen them. My first thought at the time was that they were relatively inferior substitutes for VCRs, because remember the first DVRs had a channel capacity of about 6 to 8 hours in the what they called the best quality mode, which was really just the default quality that you would get out of regular cable TV. So it was like having a VCR with only one tape, if you think about it that way. But what became very clear very quickly was the idea of pausing live TV, how revolutionary this was. And I don't know if DirecTV was the very first television provider to offer a DVR. They had to have been one of the first, because I know that, you know, none of the cable companies were doing it at the time. And a DirecTV branded DVR was available, you know, pretty much at the first time that I had gotten DirecTV service, it was already available, but I didn't get into it for another 2 years or so. It changed the way that all of us watched television. Remember, again, there was no on demand back then. There was no internet. streaming, no Netflix, no YouTube. YouTube wasn't even invented until 2005, and this was, you know, a good couple of years before that, 3-4 years before that. So all of a sudden to say you could pause live TV or you could watch something on your own schedule, this was pretty amazing. Yes, you know, VCRs had been around for a generation at that point, but most people were not actually recording using them. They were considered hard to use by all but the most strident home theater advocates, of which I will admit that I was one. DirecTV was on the forefront back then. They were really pushing the cutting edge of what was being done. And that was a very different time. It was a time when that kind of satellite service appealed to the early adopter. And people ask me if I'm sad to see that time go. Well, in a way, yeah. I mean, I'll admit it's, you know, that was an exciting time. That was a time that, you know, we really felt like we were pushing the envelope with that stuff. But the idea that satellite television could become so mainstream that pretty much anybody could use it as an alternative for cable television. Remember what I was saying at the beginning of this podcast. That was the goal. And that goal was achieved. So it's been 30 years of DirecTV. And, you know, do we believe that it will be around for 30 more years? There are some out there on the internet who would have you believe that both DirecTV and Dish are in some sort of existential crisis and they would not survive unless there are some really huge steps to be taken. So I disagree. I disagree. I think that just like when television came in, radio kind of made space for it. When cable came in, broadcast TV kind of made space for it. Well, now, you know, a lot of people are going to stream. They're going to do nothing but watch on their time. They're not going to ever have to worry about appointment television or setting a DVR if they don't want to. You know, that's great. And DirecTV and Dish will continue to be part of the equation. A lot of people tend to forget that businesses still really can't stream. It's not just a matter of not having enough internet capacity. It's also a matter of contracts and stuff like that, that the streaming providers in general don't seem to want to get involved with. So businesses are going to be a big part of the satellite TV landscape for a long time. And even homes. You know, we all like to say, oh, everybody is streaming. But, you know, is your 83-year-old aunt streaming? Probably not. I mean, not all the time anyway. Is your grandmother streaming? Probably not. The truth is that we've got a good 20 years of folks out there who grew up with nothing but live broadcast television, who are still going to be a dominant economic force for about another 20 years. And after that, who knows? Because by then, millennials themselves could have really discovered the joys of linear television in the same way that they discovered the joys of vinyl records. It could happen. I never thought that vinyl records would come back. So it remains to be seen, of course. Nobody knows the future, but I feel confident in saying that DirecTV will make it another 30 years and probably beyond that. Because it's a good company, a strong company. It's a company that has weathered tough skies, tough seas, whatever it is that you weather, weathered it before and come out stronger. So happy 30th birthday, DirecTV. I think the official birthday is in the middle of June, but I'm going to count the entire year because that's the kind of guy I am. That's about it for the Solid Signal podcast for this week. Do me a favor, like, subscribe, and leave a comment anywhere you get this podcast. I hope that you enjoy the content. And if you don't, go ahead and tell me because I'm always looking for new ideas and new stuff to talk about. While you're thinking about it, shop at solidsignal.com. Or if you want the full service experience, call Signal Connect at 888-233-7563. They're the sponsors of this podcast. They pay my salary and I am extremely grateful. That's it for the Solid Signal podcast for this week. I will see you again next week when I will be recording on my regular schedule.